Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the earliest things that we usually end up saying as children is this: that's not fair. Why does he get to have ice cream, but I don't get to have ice cream? Why does she get to stay up late, but I have to go to bed early? Why did his parents just buy him that toy, but I can't have my parents buy me that toy? But this doesn't just happen during childhood. Even as we get older, we all still have this deep sense inside of us that life should be fair. And fairness means that those who put in the effort and the time in life should reap the rewards, while those who are lazy and those who are slothful in life should end up reaping the wind. In this way, life should be fair and balanced. If you do the work, you should get a reward that is commensurate with the work, and if you don't do the work, you should get nothing. That's the fairness that we all bring into the world and consider to be true of the world today. What this is the law of God that is planted into the natural order. The law says the person who does these things will live by them. That is, if you do the things that you are called to do, there will be life, and that life will go well for you. But if you don't do them, things will not go so well for you. There's a fairness in this, and there's a sense of justice to this. So it rankles us when we hear Jesus' words this morning in our gospel lesson, in which he makes clear just how unlawful grace is. Grace just isn't fair. But in fact, that actually turns out to be a good thing for us. To that end, our gospel lesson opens with Jesus talking to his disciples. Jesus has just told them that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And by that, he is creating a picture that it is literally easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And that immediately provokes a question from the disciples: then who can be saved? If the rich, who everybody in Jesus' day thought were under God's blessing and in God's favor because of their material gain, if the rich, who seemingly have God's favor, are not able to get into God's kingdom, who can? And Jesus' answer: for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. In short, we human beings do not have the power and the capacity within ourselves to gain entrance into God's kingdom. We can't do it. There is nothing we have, nothing we can bring to get into God's kingdom. Only God can rescue. It is impossible with mortals, but it is possible with God. Only God can rescue, and only God can grant entrance into his kingdom. It is based entirely on grace, which is God's free and unconditioned gift, which leads us into this morning's lesson. After an exchange with Peter, in which Jesus gave him and the 12 the promise of a place in his kingdom, at the end of which he said this: many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Those are actually the last words said before our gospel opens today, so it bookends our gospel in reverse order, if you look at it. This indicates that in God's kingdom, everything is flipped upside down and everything is leveled out. And then Jesus gives a picture to them of how this grace works. And he does that by telling them a parable. Now, a parable is a story that is made up to prove some sort of a theological point. And in this case, the parable is directed to how Jesus operates in his kingdom. In other words, the parable is about how Jesus functions, what Jesus does, how he acts. And the story he tells them is about a landowner who went out to hire some laborers to work in his vineyard. In fact, he goes out several times during the day to hire some laborers for his vineyard. He goes out first at 6 a.m., and then he comes back at 9 a.m., and then at noon, and then at 3 p.m., and then at 5 p.m. And each time he goes out, he promises them that he will give them a fair wage, and he tells them that what he will give them is a denarius, a day's wages. When evening comes, though, and it's time to pay up, he has the workers come and gather around him, and the landowner starts handing out the money, but this time he does it in reverse order, starting with those who showed up at 5 p.m. and working his way back towards those who came at 6 a.m. And as he's paying the money, what we find is that frustration and anger is growing on the part of those who were hired first. Frustration and anger is coming out of those who were hired at 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., those who had been there the longest part of the day. "It's not fair," they cry. "They only worked 1 hour, and they got the exact same amount of money as we all got, and we had to put up with the burning heat, we had to put up with all the strenuous labor, the hours that they didn't work, and this is not fair. This is not how things should operate under the law. Everyone should receive based on what they've done. That's the way that fairness works," these people are saying. "It's only fair that you get what you put in the effort for." But notice the landowner's answer. "Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" Here, my friends, is the scandalous nature of grace. If you haven't already guessed it, Jesus, God, is the landowner figure in the parable. And the point he's making is that he is the one who chooses to give his good gifts to whomever he chooses to give them to, and he gives them however he wills to give them. Salvation and forgiveness and a place in God's kingdom are all things that belong to the Lord. They are all his property, and the truth is that he chooses to give these things in the same measure to everyone to whom he chooses to give them, whether they've come early to the party or late to the party. And here's where the real scandal of grace creeps in. That means that he gives the exact same gifts, whether you've spent your entire life in church, loving and serving the Lord by loving and serving your neighbor, or you only showed up at the last hour because otherwise you were living your life as a rogue and a scoundrel, and you only came to faith in Christ at the very bitter end. He gives the exact same gift to all. Everyone from point A to B and all points in between. And Jesus says that this flips everything that we think upside down. So the last will be first and the first will be last. Now, if you're judging God's actions by law means, this seems horribly unfair, doesn't it? But that's just the point. The primary way that God operates is not by grace, but by grace. The law is God's alien work to wake us up, to expose our sin, to show us our inability before God, so that we are driven to call on God for mercy. So we are given to admit our bankruptcy, given to admit that we have nothing to bring to the table, no worthiness, no merit on our own, and that we have to count on Him to give us everything. And that means that grace is God's proper work. Grace is the way that God pleasures and glories in acting. God is not granting entrance into His kingdom based on merit. He's not granting entrance into His kingdom based on our worthiness. He is not granting entrance into His kingdom based on the amount of time we've served. No, entrance into His kingdom comes as a gift from Him to you, and that gift is free, and that gift is unconditioned. And here's the good news for you. God has given you that gift. And the means by which God has given you that gift, and the means by which God continues to give that gift to you, to renew you in that gift, is through His Word and His sacraments. Starting on the day that you were baptized, God made you a promise. And the promise was this: because of the work of my Son, Jesus Christ, for you, because of what He did in laying down His life for you, for your sin, and in rising from the dead for you, to put you right with God, I now make you my son. I now make you my daughter for all eternity, and I grant you a place in my kingdom in the new creation for all eternity. Furthermore, God has continued to speak that word to you and will continue to speak that word to you through the words of Scripture. He will continue to speak that word to you through the Lord's Supper, where he tells you over and over again that your sin has been wiped out, that you have been put right with him for Jesus Christ's sake. And all of this has come about because God chose to make you his own, and God chose to give you his good gifts. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? Yes, you are allowed, Lord. You are allowed to do what you choose with what belongs to you, because you and you alone are God, and all the gifts belong to you. And we thank you for being so generous to us and granting us these gifts by your grace. Amen.